The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Well, as we discussed last week, heat waves, torrential rain and droughts are set to become more extreme and more frequent, according to the recent IPCC report. And the apocalyptic scenes we have seen this summer in places like Greece and Germany have shown us the reality of increased temperatures and climate change. You'll know my next guest as an architect and environmentalist and presenter of EcoEye. And he's in studio today because he thinks that the current climate crisis means that all of us should be taking urgent action. And now, Duncan Stewart, good afternoon. How are you keeping?
Thanks, Dervin.
Look, I'm not going to ask you how serious climate change is because I think it's inescapable now. But can you paint a picture for us on what it could mean for the day-to-day lives of people in Ireland and perhaps more particularly for the generation that's coming after us?
Yes, absolutely. And it's not just the generation coming after us. It's the generation now, Dervin, that's people in their 40s mm-hmm. are going to be very seriously impacted.
People like me?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. You know, it's going to have major impacts. I mean, people even in 50, by the year 2050, it's a very changed world. And we have to realise that it's all being caused by humans' activity, especially in the developed world. It's all to do with fossil fuel and obviously there's other factors like cattle, of course, you know, and methane problems globally. And obviously the rainforest destruction that's going on at the moment and damage to our peatlands. There's a range of things, but the majority of the problem is fossil fuel.
Yeah. What struck me about the IPCC report, and many people talked about this, was that in one sense it didn't bring anything new to the table. Obviously it goes through
surprises.
A very comprehensive process, but there were no surprises. But do you think it was the fact that we've been seeing the fires, the floods, whatever it is, do you think that it is really bringing it home to us?
Yes, but I think also, I mean, what was really important about the IPCC report that was basically published last week is that it basically really pictures a very dire situation for us and a very stark report on the seriousness of what we're facing. You know, we look at COVID, but climate change is 1,000 times bigger in its impacts than COVID.
One of the books I got to read over the summer, it's absolutely stunning. I didn't even realise it was such a genre as cli-fi, climate fiction. You know that Kim Stanley Robertson, The Ministry of the Future, which looked at, you know, what happens if we don't stick to the Paris kind of deal or the Paris, hopes. And in that book, it talks about people having sort of justiciable rights that the citizens of the future can go and sue. So, for example, if, you know, we aren't taking proper action in respect of climate, do you think that this report by the IPCC is something that somebody could go into a court in Ireland or elsewhere and say, this is my rights and I need the government or whoever else it is, industry, to act on it?
It's perfect evidence now for courts, there's no doubt. And we're going to see a lot of court cases against governments, against corporates, large fossil fuel corporates, etc. So there will be massive changes in the courts. Obviously, our judiciary need to meet this challenge too and be informed enough because, you know, we are depending on judges that are informed, that can make the right decisions. So, you know, this challenge is unprecedented. You know, what we have to do and the changes between now and 2030, there's only 8 years left to do it, is a massive transformation.
I just think that's fascinating, the notion of trying to kind of assert those rights through the courts or elsewhere. The IPCC report, it says, our younger generation are on track to face unprecedented impacts over the coming decades and beyond. And they said it could likely range from dangerous to devastating unless we take an immediate about turn. What do you think are the type of phenomena that we could see here in Ireland in respect of the type of climate effects here?
Well, in some ways, Ireland is better off than most countries in our climatic conditions here. You know, we've been lucky so far, you know, in what's happened. And obviously the global issues are going to be what's going to hit us mostly because the impacts of that are going to backfire on us. There will be massive migrations of people, hundreds of millions of people migrating. So probably the biggest tsunami effect or, if you like, storm surge will be massive migrations of hundreds of millions of people starving with no choice but to abandon the places they're in. I would think that's the biggest one. But of course, the physical changes that we will see is much more extreme hurricanes around our coast and coastal erosion problems will be very serious in villages and towns around the coast.
We even had it on the programme last week, you know, they update it regularly, but that report on looking around the coast that in 20 to 30 or whatever year's time, they could be gone or at least seriously affected. Will we see, if we're getting those kind of hurricane type effects, is it going to be drought? Obviously, we've had some good weather. Is it going to be drought? Is it going to be rain? What are the kind of things that could come with those changes?
Well, it's a mix of things. You know, rainfall is going to increase dramatically. You know, so what we've seen with heavy torrential rainfalls are going to be much more extreme. You know, so we've seen a taste of it over the last few years, but we're really facing big ones and big surprises and big shocks. They will come very suddenly and very, you know, we will not be prepared for them. There's no doubt we're not prepared. And, you know, this, the same with droughts. We're going to get much more extreme droughts. We'll probably not get the extent of wildfires that are happening all over the world, but we will get wildfires and we will have heat waves, but they will be, again, at a more kind of modest level compared to what will be experienced abroad.
When this issue comes up, people think, well, what can we do? You know, we look to big industries like, you know, we often talk about farming, but you've also got construction. There are so many issues at a big industry level. So what can we do individually, but also as a society to tackle some of those big
changes?
Well,
I think really individually, there are certain things we can do, but that's limited. And if we don't collectively do it as a nation, we're not going to really solve the problem. The transformation has to be massive and it needs government policy. It needs our citizens to act responsibly in who they elect, because we need governments that are going to a government that will act responsibly. We haven't had it in the last 20 years. You know, if I go back 30 years of climate change and see, you know, I've been kind of at this for 45 years, in fact, you know, and I've been following the science. And it's clear that in Ireland, we have continuously made mistakes, you know. And obviously, we look across the different sectors.
And we might even just chat about some of them. Look, like often we'd have discussions around, do you go electric or do you, you know, it's kind of at an individual level. But transport is one of the big ones. Have we yet met the targets on that?
Yeah, transport, I'm afraid, is shockingly out of line. You know, if we go back to 1990, which is the base year for all nations, with the United Nations and with Europe, regarding climate change. And if we look at what's happened in Europe emissions reduced by 25% over that 30 years, which is a big, you know, a reasonably good change. Ireland's emissions went up by 10%, but transport emissions went up by a shocking amount. And in a way, what would you think a shocking amount would be?
Well, if 10% is bad, I'd be thinking maybe 35, 40, 50.
You'd have to guess again and at a much more serious level.
What's the actual figure?
153%, which is 2.5 times the transport emissions back in 1990.
So what do the solutions, that's sort of hard to take in that figure,
what are the solutions?
You see some kind of measures, like, there's a lot of places where the speed limits are lower, you know, we regularly talk about people wanting to switch to electric cars and obviously our public transport network. What are going to be the big solutions for us there?
Well, we have to really completely transform our transport system, you know. Motorways are one of the biggest drivers of the problems. We have to stop building motorways immediately. Any proposed motorways should be cancelled now, and the money should be going into public transport, because that money, motorways exacerbate the problem. They're like the arteries for the problem of sprawl, long distance commutes, high speeds. And remember, speeds on motorways at 120 kilometres are about 30% above speeds of 80 to 90 kilometres. There's that big a difference.
Yeah,
and there are many cars travelling at well over, exceeding that speed. And it's on an exponential scale. It's in other words, what happens at, say, 140 kilometres per hour is massively higher than a kind of a 30% increase. It's more like a 50% increase in fuel emissions.
And whatever about achieving that, though, for urban areas, what do you do then for rural areas? Well, you don't have a choice if you live out on a farm or otherwise, in terms of, you know, people in rural areas need.
Absolutely.
And
I think rural is a really important area because, to a great extent, a large percentage of Irish population is living in rural Ireland and unfortunately commuting long distances by car because they find that they have no other choice. And of course, when they go out their driveway, typically, they can't walk or cycle without bringing a tank out onto the road that will protect them, because you can't cycle or walk on the country roads in Ireland. 90% of them are dangerous. And, you know, to expect children to walk to school is would be unfair to children the way things are. But we can solve that problem with no cost, by reducing speed limits on country roads to 30 kilometres an hour and close to schools, you know, within 500 metres of a school, to 20 kilometres an hour. That's a no-cost issue. And it would allow people to be able to walk and cycle on their country roads. Now, that to me is a really important issue. I think the second thing for people in rural areas is to try and find solutions, if they're commuting, of where they can share the car journey with, say, four people instead of one. That brings your emissions down to a quarter of what it would have been. With what is happening is 90% of journeys are with one person at the moment.
Due to an inability to pass my car test, I actually didn't get my car. I didn't pass it until I was 34. So I used to feel not guilty about emissions.
Good, absolutely.
Up until that point. But I haven't flown in 2 years. Mm. And I'm just wondering, is that something that, you know, we can do, fly less, kind of take advantage of the sort of digital boom that we've enjoyed during the pandemic? Can you, you know, how do we restrict that or get people to think? Because obviously, airlines are also a big contributor.
Absolutely. If you go before COVID, up back to 2019, air traffic, you know, basically air flights increased by three times from 1990. So they went up a shocking amount. And Ireland's air transport is the highest in Europe per person in terms of carbon emissions.
I have lots of messages coming in for you. Ban all diesel SUVs now, make electric cars cheaper now. Another one says, please ask Duncan what an average household should do apart from reduce, reuse and recycle. And do you agree that if those of us can work from home a lot, would that help reduce polluting from commuting? And that is Sinead.
OK, there are loads of good questions. Maybe I should take the transport one now and then go on to kind of the other measures, like what we can do in the home to later. But if we look at transport, yes, we have to stop burning diesel and petrol, and diesel being worse because it creates 10 times the air pollution, the health damaging air pollution in urban areas, close to roads, in traffic congested areas. So we have a situation that three quarters of our cars now, new cars, are diesel. And worse still, three quarters of our new cars are either very heavy, gas-guzzling, big cars, powerful cars, or SUVs. And, you know, this is a phenomenon that basically we have allowed happen in Ireland. I mean, obviously, we need high VRT to prevent this. Because remember, when you buy one of these big cars that basically are very inefficient in terms of their fuel consumption, and that they'll be on the road for the next 10, 15 years. And effectively, if we've only got 8 years to make this transformation, we can't have a situation that we're buying more new cars, or even probably worse is the second-hand cars coming in from the UK, which are doing massive damage. Yeah. You know, we have to do something about this. This is staring us in the face as something. It's a no-cost issue. It would bring revenue in if we had a very high VRT on this, and that revenue could go into the solutions for more, if you like, incentivising, say, electric cars or other solutions for transport.
Your heart would kind of sink, just even looking at a lot of the messages coming in, but because there's so much coming in this. But is there anything that we're doing right? Is there anything that you have hope about? If it's a man-made crisis, can we be the solution as well?
I think the only good thing that's happened in Ireland in recent years is our children. And I have hope in our children. And I think we will see more and more, if you like, outcry from our young generation. They want a future, and we owe them a future. They have a legacy that they're inheriting from us to have a good life in this country. We are stealing that future from them now. And the only thing I see happening that's good, I mean, there's an awful lot of greenwashing, and there's an awful lot of little tweaking at the edges and all sorts of things going on. But the reality is we have no policies to drive change in Ireland at government level.
Duncan, I have no room left on my screen. There's so much coming in. I'm going to have to get you back at some stage because we've just run out of time.